Welcome to this conference. I'm glad you could attend. Yes, I'm from Texas A&M, but I am on the Corpus Christi campus, so that's about 8 hours south of Dallas, so we're kind of another world down there. So I wanted to clarify I'm not at College Station, the main campus. But my presentation today is about the use of culturally competent strategy to investigate breast and colorectal cancer screening knowledge and decision-making among Hispanic women. When I lived in South Dakota, I worked with American Indian women, so this has been a new area for me. The breast cancer screening hasn't, or the cancer screening behavior is actually my specialty. But certainly working with Latino or Hispanic population is new. I don't have any disclosures to claim, no relationships or personal financial responsibilities. I'd like to acknowledge my funding agency was the Texas Research Development Grant, and this study took place during the summer of 2009. Also, I'd like to thank the Las Colonias families and communities in urban and semi-rural substandard developments outside Corpus Christi. I'll be talking more about those later, but this is an area where they have been zoned out, and there's been there's 1,400 colonias in Texas within 158 miles of the border, so it does reach up to the Corpus Christi area into Nueces County. And many of the housing units are boarded like this, and some of them are just literally boards and nail. There's no structure to them. This one is abandoned right now, but it's very similar. I work with students in the public health arena, and this was a dog that seemed to want to follow me around that day. Cancer disparities, I wanted to say a little bit about the background and the significance of the problem. Breast and colorectal cancer together account for nearly 22% of the cancer mortality burden in South Texas. The U.S. standard is about 18%, so we are 4% higher there. The favorable trends noted in breast and colorectal, CDC mortality rates for white women during the 2000s were not evident from Hispanic women, particularly those living in semi-rural colonial communities. And it's just at a poster board where they are finding from the CDC poster with, that mammography rates are falling. At this point in time in the 2000s, they weren't. They were about 95% when they asked, have you ever had a mammogram in your lifetime? That rate was at 95%. But of course, that isn't the issue. The regular interval mammography is the real issue. But women do well with one mammogram. But that is dropping. But particularly those, and I see this as a social injustice, not only the colonias, but this disparity among Hispanic women and those in the more rural areas. The significance of the problem, the Hispanic breast cancer difference persists with equal access to care. There's mounting studies that have randomized controlled trials where they are seeing that differences persist in the stage, size, and grade of breast cancer for Hispanic women. And so there clearly is a more aggressive style of tumor, and there's mounting evidence for a biogenetic basis for these differences. So I wanted to acknowledge that as well, even though I'm a behavioral scientist. Different strategies for breast cancer prevention and early detection may be warranted. The best evidence that we have from systematic reviews conducted with Hispanic women indicate that colorectal cancer breast behavioral interventions alone are not enough. A multi-level strategic approach is needed. Important communication strategies about the personal risk of colorectal cancer and breast cancer and the effectiveness of colorectal screening and mammography use and reduced mortality is frequently missed prior to screening. And this is what I decided to focus my this particular study around that finding, that women, particularly from this was with all women in this systematic review, that conversation with their health provider isn't taking place about their personal risk to those two cancers. Best evidence also, according to the literature, the greatest predictor of screening behavior for both colorectal and mammography is women's report of communication with their provider about risk factors, something I just alluded to. And a gap in the literature exists regarding perceptions of personal cancer risk, understanding of risk factors, and risk reduction behavior and strategies for low-income Hispanic women. Colorectal mammography screening benefits are really startling. So I wanted to show you that when colorectal cancer is found early and treated, the 5-year survival, relative survival rate is 90%. Because screening rates are low, less than 40% of CRC cancers are found, so we're missing about 60% of them out there. When breast cancer is found and treated early, the 5-year relative survival rate is 97%. Local mammography, I've learned by working with American Indian women, you have to find local data to be able to move forward. The mammography screening rates, and they're measured as at least one mammogram in the previous 2 years for women 40 years and older, at least as the BRFSS survey poses it that way, and so does the community U.S. Preventive Task Force community guide. But the rate is approximated 30 to 45%, and of course that's not desirable. That's not what we want to see. And that came from the Texas Department of Health and the American Cancer Society. But it's especially hard and difficult to track, you can imagine, with women living in those colonial settlements. Colorectal screening rates are measured as at least one FOBT in the previous 3 years, and a sigmoidoscopy in the previous 5 years, or a colonoscopy in the previous 10 years for men and women 50 to 75. And that rate, local rate, is 25 to 35%, and also unacceptable. The study aims in this work to explore Hispanic women's opinions of what would be the content and structure of informative and effective decision aids for breast and colorectal screening, to pilot the use of cafecitos as to its feasibility as a culturally competent strategy when used with focus group methodology. Cafecitos are traditional informal discussions among similar people with coffee and pan dulce, and we serve sugar-free pan dulce because of the epidemic diabetes rate in this part of Texas. I also work the talking circles among American Indians from the Northern Plains tribes. And I didn't really want to use the same format, but I find them to be very similar, except when I published it in Public Health Nursing, you'll see that I used an entirely different analytic scheme. But the idea was the same, that women of similar people feel comfortable, and food is an important part of this culture, as well as faith and family. So the cafecitos was something that drew many of them in, even from posters and flyers. The study setting in Texas, this group is the minority population. There are 8.9 million Hispanic people living in South Texas. The study setting was Corpus Christi and the nearby semi-rural colonias, 10 to 20 miles from the urban center. When I moved to Texas, my dean said, I want you to start working in the colonias. Apparently, no other faculty had brought students there, and I had several students who never knew colonies existed that close to Corpus Christi, and they'd lived in Corpus Christi all their life. So it was interesting for all of us. It was a learning experience for our entire university. Or at least the College of Nursing. 58% of Nueces County population is Hispanic. In rural areas, it's up to 62%. And Nueces County provides a county health card for those without insurance. So it is a draw for people to move to these colonias because they can get this county health insurance card. But it isn't easy, you know, that easy to get, particularly if you're not from Texas. The values, I wanted to just mention, the value of family is highly regarded. Many people, you know this, but I realized it was very important. It was with the American Indian families as well, especially respecting the dignity of other family members, including elders. And familismo consists of maintaining close bonds with one's family, fulfilling family obligations, and holding strong beliefs and familial support. And it encompasses anima, there we go, a spirit of pride and hardiness and self-sufficiency, according to the expression caring for our own. The inclusion criteria were 50 to 70 years old, of age and older, a Nueces County resident, no personal history of breast or county or colon cancer, fluent in English or Spanish, able to read and understand English or Spanish, willingness to talk about sensitive areas like body parts, breast, colon, while audio taped. When I did the talking circles with American Indian women, I found that that was very important to include in the consent form, because as nurses, we don't often think of those areas as sensitive to talk about when we forget that they really are. I use focus group methodology. IRB approval was from Texas A&M University. We conducted two-hour cafecitos focus groups of 21 women volunteers, one group in Spanish, one group in English. We had a trained bilingual facilitator, used a guide, very specific guide, but it was still allowed for open-ended questions. Recruited by area promotores. Promotores is community health workers. They're synonymous, who are really often in the know, entrusted by other community members. And managers from at least, from two community health centers in low-income neighborhoods. And I mentioned the posters and flyers. Recordings were transcribed by two different assistants, from Spanish to English for one group. Data were coded and analyzed using frequencies for relevant content themes. And women received $50 for their participation, and they also received cancer and colorectal mammography fact sheets at the end of the cafecito. As far as demographics go, you can see the mean age was 59. 19 women were born in the United States. Majority were second and third generation. This really makes a difference. Two were born in Mexico. We're finding much more assimilation with the third generation families, and we see that in our nursing students as well. 45% are married, or were married, 41% unemployed, and the median income of $11,000. That should say $15,000. That's an error. Thematic findings were the three Fs: faith, family, fatalism, were the most dominant values, and I just try to incorporate that in all the interventions that we do with the nursing students, in particularly in the colonias areas. Because they are the most dominant values. Limited knowledge of cancer risk factors. I found that particularly colorectal cancer, very inaccurate perceptions of personal risk. They really hadn't really thought about themselves ever being at risk, several women. That was almost unanimous, and that Hispanic people in general, we don't get colon cancer. So a lot of misperceptions about risk and how they could use some preventive methods such as multivitamins to perhaps ameliorate those problems or at least risk factors. Perceptions of personal risk were not based on accurate knowledge of risk factors or awareness of any models. And there, I have found it in Caucasian populations as well that they are not aware of these models that are around, that have been researched, that are scientifically sound, about your risk factors, such as the Gale model, and I'm going to mention a few other, this other website here. There was strong participant interest in strategies needed to understand and reduce breast and colorectal risk factors. Very motivated. They want the information. They wanted to know about reproduction when that came up with breast cancer risk factors. So I found them to be very information seeking and interested, particularly colorectal. The messages about breasts were getting across, even in these semi-rural areas, but not colorectal. The risk communication tools that participants evaluated, I had four different styles of communication tools. They favorably presented information about both family history and one's personal risk in a quantitative graphic format, similar to this interactive Harvard website. It used to be called mycancerrisk.gov, and now it's .com, and now it's been changed. It's the same one, but it also includes heart, other disease indexes. So it's a disease risk index .edu. Excuse me, it's coming right off the Harvard website. But I went on it and learned things, and I thought I knew all the risk factors, and it's very updated, and I encourage you to use it and share it with. The Cafecito's findings, I didn't test it like as a model, but most women expressed that they felt comfortable expressing themselves in that type of environment. Cafecito's are a promising culturally competent strategy for women's knowledge. Because of 3Fs, faith, fatalism play a large role as a decision aid tool in screening use. Family networks of family and friends could be effective messengers. Teach women the difference between cancer risk factors, which are not modifiable, such as age. And this group universally did not realize age was a risk factor. They knew that family history was, and they knew several things, but they did not know that age was a risk factor and that it's not modifiable, but it's still your risk factor, something you can take into consideration. A family history of cancer, reproduction, and those that can be modified, BMI, activity, use of hormones after menopause, and diet. The implications are that Hispanic women were motivated to reduce their cancer risk factors and would benefit from multi-level intervention strategies that target colorectal cancer risk, communication, and prevention. So that is the area we are looking at putting with our efforts as future studies. I just wanted to add, too, that, you know, of course, you cannot generalize from a focus study such as this. But future work has been primarily in the systems level. There, we've developed partnerships with the Costa Bend Coalition for Colonias, and there has been a law passed. Colonias, if you want to have a better idea of how they function, go to the website The Forgotten Population. It was a PBS documentary. And they really tell you quite a bit more of how these started and what's being done to help. But there's also been a law passed, as I mentioned, that's really made a huge difference, that landlords cannot sell these land parcels, and then people found that they couldn't even have water service, basic services, because the city and the county zoned around them. So they were completely without, when I was there, they were, Texas A&M was measuring the water and doing analysis, and they found strychnine in the water. So several of our home visits, they were drinking, you know, bottled water, they weren't, and hauling water in. So hopefully some of the systems, we were able to help testify, and it was already in the works. But it seemed to help that we had that firsthand information, the students going to homes. So there's questions at the end, I guess, but I thank you so much for your time.